The Eastern and Western NBA finals are in full swing. We've had our first games. Simon and Dave are away. We've got the keys to the house. Let's have a party. Welcome to Third and Five. Welcome to a very special episode of Third and Five. Dave and Simon are both away this week, so that means they have ignored all of their best judgment and given me access to the pod this week and to you all. So thank you for listening and thanks for coming along on this absolute ride. Obviously, Simon and Dave aren't here to talk about how their weeks are going, but my week's going great. And I hope yours is too. This week, I became an American citizen, so the freedom levels in me have increased dramatically since I got that. So very happy to have that and tick that off the list. Also, weirdly, been watching lots of reality TV. For those that are into reality TV, been watching Vanderpump Rules, Scandaval is in full swing. If you've never watched Vanderpump, this season is a must watch. Lots and lots going on there. Outside of that, our fantasy football draft planning is in full swing. So every year for our fantasy football draft, we all try to get together, those of us that are in America or the Northern Hemisphere, and go somewhere ridiculous and just behave like young children playing a game called Spotlight out in the wilderness. So a bunch of 30-year-olds running around in the dark. What could go wrong? But let's get into today and talk about our topics. So first off, on Tuesday evening, we had the NBA lottery. Victor Wembanyama was obviously the hot commodity and definitely favored to go number one. So lots of eyes on who would get the number one seed, but also lots of other players in this draft, Brandon Miller and Scoot Henderson, who are obviously highly valued as well. So looking back at that draft, it is absolutely ridiculous the fact that for some reason, yet again, the NBA Spurs landed the number one overall pick and get first rights to Victor Wembanyama. The Spurs have been absolutely ridiculous getting these number one picks over the years. I think they had David Robinson years and years ago, and then obviously Tim Duncan as well. So just an absolute massive win here for the Spurs. Obviously, probably a massive win for Victor Wembanyama as well. He gets to grow and develop under Greg Popovich at the Spurs, and that can only be good for him. Number two went to the Hornets, and number three went to the Trailblazers. So it's going to be really interesting, I think, with these two teams to see where Scoot gets drafted, and then also to see where Brandon Miller gets drafted. Brandon Miller was at Alabama last year, and there was a lot of drama and controversy. I think there's some story floating around that he supplied a gun to a teammate or helped a friend get a gun, and that was later involved in a homicide. So a bit of drama around Brandon Miller. Spurs obviously taking Wembanyama. They came out this week saying, hey, they're considering others of the one overall pick. I don't buy it for a second. The Hornets are obviously either going to go Brandon Miller or Scoot. But the Trailblazers is where it gets interesting. This is a team that has not done great considering they've got Damian Lillard on the team. So that pick is apparently available. I don't know if I'm fully buying into that, just from the point of view that I think there's a high chance they get rid of Damian Lillard if they get a good offer for him in the offseason here. You know, they're probably a franchise that needs to go into a bit of rebuild mode. And Damian Lillard's not really going to want to stay around if they take a young player and start going into rebuild mode. So basically the Trailblazers have two options here. They either trade the pick and help build around Damian Lillard, or they trade Damian Lillard. So that'll be really interesting to watch, I think. Other things that happened in the draft, or the NBA lottery, Victor Wembanyama looked like the happiest man on the planet when the Rockets got pick number four. It's also really good for the Nets that they didn't get number one overall pick, because that would have affected us for years to come for sure, just with having some of their draft picks. Other than that, in the top 14, I don't think there's any massive surprises. I think the Mavericks, obviously, with their lottery position, they stuck at 10, which is probably good for them, any higher, and I believe they would have had to give it to the New York Knicks. But it's going to be pretty exciting. Draft night's in Brooklyn in I think mid to late June, so it'd be pretty interesting night for at least the first three picks off the board. NBA draft night is notoriously boring to watch. It just drags on and on and on. But looking forward to this. So moving on to our next topic, let's jump into the Western Conference Finals. So the Denver Nuggets hosted game one in Denver against the LA Lakers, and I stopped watching at halftime, which may not have been the best move. I just kind of looking at what was happening, it just seemed like the Nuggets were just absolutely going to crush the Lakers. And in reality, that's what I kind of thought was going to happen. But never count out a LeBron James team. They came roaring back in the second half, third and fourth quarter, outscoring the Nuggets in each of those. And it got pretty close in the end. Nuggets took this away 132-126. Massive things in that game for me was just absolutely how dominant Jokic was. I think now he's got more 30-20-10 games in the playoffs. And he's clear number one in it. He's got more than anyone else in history, which is absolutely insane considering where he is in his career. Also highly hilarious because when he was first drafted, there wasn't actually live draft footage of them. I believe when the Nuggets drafted Jokic, the ESPN or whoever's hosting the draft that year actually panned off to a Subway commercial. So absolute payback for that, I'm sure. But look, Denver's just looked great. They're playing pure team ball. They've got depth. Bruce Brown coming off the bench has been absolutely amazing. Are the Nuggets going to sweep the Lakers? Absolutely not. And I think Anthony Davis with his 40-point game and LeBron James at 26 with 12 rebounds and 9 assists show that. It's just kind of one of the things that the Lakers are going to hit where they just don't have the depth to take this to a game seven series. I could see it being, Nuggets in six, Nuggets in five, I think would be a bit of a stretch. But, it's an exciting series. I think you got to watch Hachimura coming off the bench and then Walker as well. Hachimura had a pretty good game. Walker did not. Dennis Schroeder obviously had a terrible game as well with only 6 points, and D'Angelo Russell only had eight. D'Angelo Russell was definitely the odd man out. He was minus 25 points while he's on the court, which is a not good thing at all. But moving on to the East, we had game one of the Eastern Conference championship last night, and it was the Celtics taking on the Heat. First game was in Boston, kind of much like the Lakers Nuggets game. Celtics looked really in control at the end of the first half. They outscored the Heat by 2 points in the first quarter and then 7 points in the second. Going into that third quarter, though, something crazy happened. The Heat just absolutely went off. They scored 46 points in the third quarter against the Boston Celtics, who only scored 25. And the Celtics' defense looked awful. The other thing to highlight here is Joe Mazzulla, who's the coach of the Boston Celtics, did not take a single timeout while that was happening. And to put that in perspective, I think the first to start the fourth quarter, I think the Celtics went on a 7-0 run, and Eric Spoelstra from the Heat immediately took a timeout to regroup with his team, which was obviously a smart move. So keys to kind of winning here just seem like the Celtics are going to get outcoached. I mean, even in that last series against the 76ers, they kind of looked a bit out of place. They really struggled a lot of the time on defense, and a lot of the time their head coach, Joe Mazzulla, just wasn't calling timeouts. Steve Nash was actually notorious for doing this when he was at the Brooklyn Nets. He would just let it go on too much and the damage would get done, and it's just hard to claw your way back from that. Jimmy Butler, 35 points, five rebounds, seven assists. Six steals as well. So Jimmy Butler just doing Jimmy Butler things. And I just got to say, this Miami Heat team is fucking impressive, considering they don't have Tyler Hero and considering the squad that they've got. They're causing damage, and I feel like they've kind of got the momentum here. Like they've, you know, the playoffs are a bit of a mind game. It's a best of seven series, and I think Miami's got this. Like I really do. Taking game one in Boston, the TD Garden is not an easy place to play. But I feel like this team is just going to absolutely bond around each other and just absolutely go for it. So I'm originally going into the series, I would have said Boston just because I thought their defense would have kind of pieced together and outlasted this Miami team. But I think I'm going to go Miami in six here. I really just think that they've got something special going on. So it's going to be really interesting to watch, I think, moving forward. Outside of the world of basketball, which is obviously heating up big time, let's go Nuggets. You know, I hope they win it all this year. And who needs a regular season MVP when you're probably going to get an NBA Finals MVP? And that's Jokic. So after watching Joel Embiid and the 76ers crash out of the playoffs, I think a lot of people are regretting their decision to vote for Embiid for MVP. One of the other things, just before we move on to our next topic, is James Harden apparently going to decline his player option, test the open market, try get a four-year deal. I don't think the 76ers are going to do it. I think most likely he's probably going to go back to someplace like Houston. The big curveball in Philly at the moment is the firing of Doc Rivers, who Joel Embiid apparently liked a lot. So watch this offseason. It's going to be pretty spicy for a few teams around the league. I think the Suns, the Bucks, and the 76ers, all who have had the best regular season record over the last 3 or 4 years, have all got rid of their head coaches. So maybe that's where Dave and Simon are. Maybe they're off interviewing for these head coaching roles and doing that and just leaving me with the pod. But the NFL schedule's out. The NFL schedule came out last week, and some exciting games. This week, this year, I should say, they are playing games on a Black Friday. So the Friday after Thanksgiving, Jets hosting that one, which should be a lot of fun. Can't wait to see that happen. Can't wait to see Aaron Rodgers put on that Jets uniform as well. It's either going to go great or it's going to go terrible. The only game this year was a little bit of a surprise. We got the Super Bowl champs, Kansas City Chiefs, playing the Detroit Lions. So Detroit Lions were a pretty exciting team last year. A lot of noise around them, I think, just kind of playing that underdog role. Obviously, Jared Goff, when he used to play for the Rams, him and Patrick Mahomes had that absolute shoot-off. I think it was on Monday Night Football, where it was kind of like 54 points to 52 points or something like that. So it could be a little bit of a fun game. I'm just still disappointed in the way that the Detroit Lions drafted. It was just taking Gibbs where they did. It's still a head-scratcher, taking the defensive play that they did. And hey, look, I may be proven wrong here, but that just seems like disaster in the making. But we shall see. We shall see. It just gives me flashbacks of when Jalen Reagor was drafted by the Eagles over Justin Jefferson. Outside of that, though, San Francisco 49ers at the Philadelphia Eagles, week 13. Put it on your calendar. The NFC this year is a bit of a bust, in all honesty. There's only a few really good teams in there. A lot of the great quarterbacks that are sitting in the AFC, and it's going to be shocking to see some of the quarterbacks that miss out on the playoffs, just based on having Rodgers in the AFC, Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Herbert. it's going to be painful for a bunch of teams. Probably Danger Russ Wilson is in danger of missing out on the playoffs, but we'll see how Sean Payton goes coaching there this year. But San Francisco 49ers at the Philadelphia Eagles, two of the favorites in the NFC going head-to-head there. Week 13, it's probably going to be a crucial game at the moment. Obviously, there's a lot that can happen between now and then between these two teams to see who is going to be the number one seed in the NFC. Obviously, the way playoffs are, they've changed now. So only one team gets a bye, and that's going to be pretty important. So we'll keep an eye on that one, but that's definitely number one, probably on my list. Probably number two, and lucky Dave and Cy aren't here to give me a bit of shit about this, is Philadelphia Eagles at Kansas City Chiefs, week 11, Super Bowl rematch. The Eagles have beefed up their defense a lot. The Chiefs haven't done a lot on offense as of yet. I still think there's a chance that they make a play for a wide receiver, or a more veteran wide receiver, I should say. So watch that space, but Super Bowl rematches are always fun, especially when the teams stick together. So that's going to be an exciting matchup. I think if Dave was here, I can hear Dave yelling in my ear. There's probably a Cowboys game to talk about, but I'm going to ignore Dave because he's not even on the pod this week. But probably another game Dave would be pretty pumped about would be Cincinnati Bengals at Kansas City Chiefs, which is week 17. Chiefs have got a really fun schedule this season, but this is going to be an absolute interesting game. Again, it's in a stacked AFC. I know it's late in the season. Week 17 is pretty late. But that could have a lot of impact on the AFC standings and potentially who could miss out on a playoff spot. Right, I can hear Dave in my ear. I'm gonna stick with the Dallas Cowboys then, and also piss him off a little bit and say each of the matchups with the Philadelphia Eagles. Cowboys do have a shot to sneak in to the playoffs, absolutely. Realistically, they're probably looking at beating the Eagles in the NFC East. I don't think that's likely. It's definitely a possibility. Or getting the top wildcard spot, which is ridiculous. This is definitely a year where we could see the top wildcard performers easily outperforming some of the winners of their division. So each of the Eagles and the Cowboys matchup, so week 9 and week 14 are going to be big ones. I'm interested to see, probably in the first week, Buffalo Bills at New York Jets. Great one for the Jets to open with a new quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. So we'll see that. There are definitely some duds in this schedule. It's been interesting as well to see the Amazon, the Facebook, remove the. Being interesting to see how they've flexed their muscle a bit over scheduling this year and just with those Thursday night games, so they don't end up with as many duds as they did last year. Well, last topic for today, and we're obviously roaring through it, is the XFL season. So the XFL, it was around for a few years, went bust. The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, bought it 2 years ago. And relaunched it. So this season was the first season of the XFL. And it's been a pretty interesting one. Kind of best to worst attendance at games, I guess average attendance. St. Louis Battlehawks averaged 35,000 people a game, which is impressive. Again, St. Louis is obviously where the Rams used to be. So not a huge surprise that they're getting behind a local team there. They are by far and away the clear winners in attendance in the XFL. And kind of moving down the list, the rest are kind of averaging 10 to 14, apart from Vegas. Vegas was only averaging 6,000 people a game. So it kind of begs the question, like, apart from going to a game, what would it even take to watch on TV? Because a lot of people didn't know what was on. Myself, I kind of didn't even go. I didn't go to a game. There wasn't any local teams around here apart from, I guess, DC. And I'm definitely not going down to DC to watch a DC football team play. And I was trying to catch some of it on TV, and it was pretty interesting. So the only game that I actually caught on TV was the XFL final, which is, you know, the XFL championship. It's basically their Super Bowl. And it was Arlington Renegades. So they actually took on the DC Defenders, and they beat them 35-26. It was actually a really fun game. I've watched a lot of the highlights. The level of play in the XFL It's obviously not at the same level as the NFL, but it's by no means bad. And to give you kind of an idea, the Arlington quarterback passed for 288 yards and 3 touchdowns, completed 26 out of his 36 passed attempts. So it's definitely consistent. It's definitely, I think, at a level above the CFL, so the Canadian Football League, where they obviously play for the Grey Cup. So I just think, they need to get it a bit more exciting from the point of view that, like, some of the time slots were pretty bad. I think a lot of the time they were kind of like midday Sunday. And yeah, I know, like, the NFL's midday Sunday, but maybe kind of mixing it up and putting some games on, maybe Friday night, and doing that would be a better idea. But I'm excited to get more into it next season, and probably get behind some of these teams. I just don't know who my team would be. And I think that's probably the other barrier to entry when you're looking at this. They need some fun way to, like, be like, oh, like, pick a team, because there's only 8 teams to choose from at the moment. Vegas, Orlando, Houston, Arlington, Seattle, DC, San Antonio, and St. Louis. So 3 Texas teams in there as well, which just shows you how much Texans love their football. Well, we're getting to the end of it, team. Thanks for joining me on the solo journey. Kind of final thoughts. Isn't it weird how there's no decent fantasy rugby? I feel like that's a massive gap. I feel like that may be the missing link to get Super Rugby Pacifica off the charts, with viewership and stuff like that. But yeah, those are my weird final thoughts. Watch Vanderpump Rules. It's amazing. Thanks for joining me. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.